this. Whenever God slew them, not literally slaying or killing all of them, but when they felt the hand of God's wrath against them, in those moments, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. You know, of course, that we're not looking at this description of the history of the life of Israel to say, oh, what good, I have some more facts and information about what people lived like 4,000 years ago. The Word of God is meant to be understood and taken to heart and applied in our lives. And of course, it's not a big leap for you to guess that I'm going to say it's not just the people of Israel who saw God's miraculous hand and quickly forgot. But let's look in the mirror. Is that us too? Isn't it true that when things go well, and it's so easy for that to happen in a nation that's affluent, where most of us are comfortable? You know that Jolie and I lived for over 25 years in South America and would regularly see people sleeping under bridges or under trees or standing at the corner of stoplights begging for food, things that none of us have done, I'm pretty sure. And it's very easy when things seem comfortable to think, do I really need to cry out to God? Is it going to be that important today if I don't pray, if I don't worship, if I don't acknowledge him? And so the psalmist, Asaph, a man about whom we know very little except that he was a director of music and a composer of songs and of psalms of poetry as well, writes this. It's called a maskil. Maybe it says that in the subtitle and in your Bible, a maskil. And honestly, Hebrew scholars don't know exactly what that word means, but it probably means a contemplative poem. And contemplative means this is something designed to make us stop and ponder. We're not a society well given to pondering, are we? You hear people decrying the havoc that is wreaked upon our society by the instant news cycle. And you don't need nothing more to turn on the radio in your car than to hear some major thing announced in our society, either in the world or nationally or here locally in the Twin Cities. And people feel a need within 15 to 20 seconds to explain why that happened and why you should think this way about that. And often the next day, the news cycle is saying, hey, we kind of jumped to a conclusion about that. We spoke too quickly. Sorry, we didn't ponder, because news, which used to be information, has now become big business. And they know that the other TV channel or the other radio station is already explaining why, and we don't want to come in second. And so we'll explain even if we don't know. Pondering. It's a good thing in the spiritual life too, isn't it? Both good times and bad, we tend to interpret then. Well, this is why God did this. Something great happened. I'm sure God blessed me because something negative happens. Certainly this is the reason. And jump to conclusions without pondering. And so Asaph says, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will utter things hidden from of old. We have things we've heard and known. Things our ancestors have told us. And remember, in the society in which Asaph writes, nobody had a Bible. There were not books. They went to the synagogue to hear a parchment read. And so these pieces of history that they had heard orally, he's reminding them as he writes it down. And I've listed five of the main stories here on the outline that's in the bulletin. In verse 12, the miracles that God wrought in the land of Egypt, or he says in verse 11, the wonders he had shown them. And this is talking about Moses, who was called to lead the people of Israel, who had been slaves in Egypt, to lead them out. And he said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses did something we shouldn't do. He questioned God and said, you know, the Pharaoh guy, we kind of know him. He's not going to listen to me. That, in fact, is what happened. And so he wanted plan B. What do I do if he doesn't listen? So he said, your brother Aaron, take his rod and throw it down, and it'll become a snake. And then grab it by the tail. If this happens to your rod, don't pick it up by the head. Pick it up by the tail. And it'll become a rod again. This is called a wonder, a sign that can't be explained some other way except by spiritual power. Pharaoh didn't listen, and eventually plagues were sent. And the water turned to blood, and locusts came up, and frogs, and flies, and of course, eventually, the death of the firstborn of all the households of Egypt. And Asaph is saying to the people of Israel, have we forgotten how we got here to the land of Israel? That God miraculously did these things. Verse 13, he divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. Maybe you don't know all these stories, so I've listed the chapters in the book of Exodus. We're not going to read through those now. Certainly a lot of people here know all these stories, and probably some don't. You can go back and look them up. This is how he brought them out. There was a body of water between them and where they needed to go. There was no bridges, no boats. And besides that, you wouldn't have a boat for 1.2 probably million people, right? Along with their flocks and tents and the tabernacle and so forth. And so they marched through on dry land. Would you just kind of forget that something like that had happened? Asaph feared that that was happening in Israel. 40 years they wandered in the desert. No GPS or road maps. How would they know where to go? Well, during the day, a cloud, just their cloud, there were other clouds in the sky, led them and they followed it. And at night, a pillar of fire. Those are pretty miraculous things. Would we forget those things? They were in the desert most of those 40 years. How are we going to drink water? And Moses spoke to a rock, and the rock opened up, and water came forth, enough water for the whole community. Have you seen that happen recently? Would you forget that? Oh, and who's going to run across the street in the desert to Quick Trip and buy donuts and orange juice for a million people? And so God made manna appear every morning, and quail come down close enough to camp to allow themselves to be captured and eaten. How long did that happen? 4 decades, every day. And every day, the people of Israel arose and said, thank God for this miraculous provision, right? Well, they did, of course, at the beginning. But they eventually grumbled and said, manna again. Is it only quail every day? We never get spam? Not computer spam, another kind. No. So Asaph is saying the whole retelling of history is a lot more lengthy than that in this passage. And they continued to sin against him. And yet he was merciful. He forgave them. He did not destroy them. At times he got angry, but it says, verse 38, time after time he restrained his anger and his wrath was not exercised in full. So if you read verses 32 to 43, it's recalling this cycle through these 40 years. And in fact, the cycle carried on all through the centuries that they lived in the land of Israel, where they would obey God, he would give them a good king, they would worship him. They would turn to idolatry, he would give them wicked kings, and they would be castigated as a nation. So what are the key ideas we see here? God is faithful to us. The second one is pretty obvious, is the reason for this psalm. Pass it on. Tell somebody about that. Declare it. And don't presume that the next generation is going to figure that out. Deuteronomy, if you want to read chapter 6, this is what God says through the prophet to the nation of Israel. Tell the next generation, when you sit down, when you stand up, when you're taking a walk, when you lie down, at every opportunity in your life, not talking to the priests, to the rabbis, to the king, to parents, in your family units, tell the next generation that God has been good. Don't just presume, hey, they're going to figure this out. Declare it. Pass it on. And he's saying, walk towards obedience as you hear the stories. Miracles are to teach and to prove the goodness of God, not something to demand or to trade for allegiance, because we pray this way sometimes, don't we? Okay, God, I've exhausted all my resources, all my experience, my wisdom, my money, my capacity to pull out of this hole. Now I'm down to zero. If you will just deliver me this one time. Seriously, God, I know I've promised this before, but this time is really true. I'll be faithful to you forever. Or at least until I die, I swear it. Or just me. Am I the only one here that's ever prayed that way? A few others, huh? And we know others who do that as well, don't we? Don't trade your allegiance to God for a quick fix. So 40 years of daily miracles, all that has passed as Asaph writes this psalm. Provision. After all, manna doesn't rain down from the sky. We know that. And birds don't come and allow themselves to be captured and eaten. And yet, until another moment of desperation, the people of Israel quickly forgot. Only for them, only for the Israelites, the chosen people, miracles from God. That is to say, because you can turn on a faucet and clean water comes out. And you don't have to pray for water. Just because you say, well, I pay the bill for this water. I did purchase it, Pastor. Just because that, I don't have gratitude towards God. I just am allowed to take it for granted. Christians often bow their heads and thank God for the food. Did you forget, Pastor, that I work? I bought that food with my own money. I work hard for that salary, and I'm going to thank God as if he gave it to me. Mm-hmm. Yep. After all, he gives you health to be able to work and intellect sufficient to train yourself for a job. And it's easy to say, well, I went to college. I went into debt. I paid off my student loans. I got that job by myself. If that sounds a little empty, this is what the people of Israel were doing. So let's be honest as we turn the calendar to 2018. We're Israel, aren't we? We are tempted like this. Our God is amazing. He does amazing things. He gives amazing motives for joy, amazing doses of pain invade our lives as well. They're not always God castigating us. The scripture is very clear. Not every pain that comes into our life is a result of something wrong we have done. People get sick because we're mortal. Accidents happen because we've chosen to build cars that can go 100 miles an hour. And we're Minnesotans. We drive those cars where there's snow and ice. But God is faithful to us, and we do need to acknowledge it, and we need to declare it. So let's not live verse 34 and be those who only acknowledge that a loving, amazing God is acting on our behalf when things get really difficult. I thank you for your testimonies today. We, of course, told praise stories, didn't we? And every single one of us could tell stories of agony about 2017. I could do that, of personal agony, of things in our family. Often we don't because we're embarrassed to tell them, or we don't want to expose somebody and mention their name. And sometimes we do it because we're pretty good at pain management. Like a bottle of Advil, we find ways to lessen the pain a bit and think, well, I don't really need to tell that story because I can handle it myself. And we can't always handle it by ourselves. It's one of the reasons that church exists. Because God needs to be praised is one of the reasons we live in church. But one of the reasons is we don't do so well at pain management, and we need sometimes to weep with those who weep and to walk together. So I'm suggesting for this day, December 31st, and for this week of turning the calendar, for your meditation on Psalm 78, give praise to God and acknowledge that in the good times and bad of this year and of next as well, He will be God and faithful, and He does desire for us to give Him praise. Amen? Stand with me, and we're going to pray as the team comes, and we're going to sing again. Father, forgive us for at some time during this year, 2017, for saying, perhaps just thinking we didn't have the courage to say, if I were God, I would not have done things like this. And I'm just asking in humility that we will have the faith to pray this way. Thank you that I am a creature, a creation. How grateful I am that I'm not in charge of the whole world. How grateful I am that as I lay down to sleep at night, I don't hear, as the ears of God do, 7 billion human beings banging at my door saying, God, can you just change this for one day? So teach us to live in humility, in praise, in blind faith, trusting when we can't see our way out, and knowing that in those moments of questioning, You haven't ceased to be God, and You have not forgotten us. Your power is not diminished. And give us foresight to declare to the next generation some stories that they haven't seen or maybe heard and need to be reminded and encouraged. Thank You in the strong name of Your Son, Jesus.